This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Now ask yourself, what is this about? It's men on a mission, and we're in the house. My name is Oscar, that's Mabel F. Moe, and we're here to let you all know. We're playing no jokes, and we're playing no games. We're kicking butt, and we're taking names. We're taking titles, that's a fact. Men on a mission is the ultimate act.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another new episode of the PTBN Rewatch Party. I am your host, Steve Willey, and tonight we will be watching the July 12th and July 19th, 1993 episodes of Monday Night Raw. Of course, I could not do this by myself. I probably could, but there would be long pauses of silence for all you, so probably wouldn't make good listening. So to help me fill in those voids, I have assembled quite the panel this evening with even a surprise. So I have been on tons of podcasts. This is only the second one I've hosted, and I can definitely tell you that this first guest I like literally 15 million times more than pretty much everyone else. He is from the Wednesday Walk on the Web and the Super Extreme Podcast. It is my good friend Glenn Butler. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good. I can't wait to get to the Shane Douglas match tonight. And
yes.
To see what Sabu is up to, and, you know, is he fighting with RVD, or, you know, what's Fonzie doing to keep him in check? And I can't wait.
Jerry Lynn, one of my favorite guys ever. That is totally Stephen Graham saying. I'm actually listening to the Super Extreme podcast. I was listening to it today.
Awesome. Which one are you on?
The previous one before CyberSlam, is it Living Dangerously?
That sounds right.
All right.
some of these names kind of fall out of my head as soon as we actually do the show, and I kind of forget everything, but I just have to remember that the ECW pay-per-views are named after softcore porn. So
right.
Living Dangerously ought to be it before
right.
the Cyber Slam.
Right, and then we are both guilty as charged in terms of forgetting those names.
That's the kind of
kindergarten-level puns you can get here tonight.
The kind of things we get up to are barely legal.
That is true. All right. Well, already you can see that anarchy rules here. So next off, we have the vice president of the Jimmy Ray fan club. He is my other good friend from Michigan, Jordan Duncan. Jordan.
Hey, it's been a while. I'm ready for a WrestlePalooza tonight.
I think that's all of them.
It might be. I feel like I've died and gone to hardcore heaven.
Oh.
Did we do that one already? No?
No, we did not.
Okay.
Paul Heyman, a creative genius.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right,
hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing all right.
Good. I literally want to shoot myself if we have to come up with any more of these ECW show names.
Well, speaking of literally, this man, I think, is literally the backbone of the Place to Be Nation. And he is so dedicated to his craft that even though the Yankees are playing right now as we're taping, he's with us. Praying that they advance in the playoffs tonight. This is, of course, the North Carolina legend, hopefully not flooded out, Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, how are you doing?
Greetings and salutations, Steve Willey. Thanks for having me, man. I was going to spoil it for everybody. By the time this show is released to everybody at Place to Be Nation, we could be looking at a Yankees and Cubs World Series. But
this could be. Gosh, that's like 100 years in the making right there.
It is. And if we do have enough time, I'd like to run down a transcript of Paul Heyman's pep talk from Beyond the Mat to keep up with the ECW theme we have tonight.
Perfect. That'd be great. That'd be great to counter the Beyond the Mat dialogue with Justin and Scott from
yes.
the main podcast there.
Someone else was on that show as well. The
really?
Beyond the Mat rewatch that you could find on Place to Be Nation. A soothing, wonderful voice.
Speaking of soothing, wonderful voices. The surprise. That we were very excited to have. Way down from Georgia. This is a guy who I literally, using the correct version of literally here, is my favorite wrestling historian, the guy who I go to whenever I have a question about recommended matches across the world. He is beloved here at Place to Be Nation. He is Chad Campbell. Chad, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. But I got to say, if y'all don't stop with these ECW puns, there's going to be a massacre on 34th Street.
That's going deep into the well. Very good. Very good. Chad, it's been a while since we've had you on Raw Rewatch. So I'm excited to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be back. Excited for a couple new episodes, see what holds. We got quite the screenshot here, so I can the anticipation is building.
As you might remember from our last show, we left off with the slam heard around the world. Lex Luger coming in his helicopter and United States flag windbreaker that I maybe bought at Big Lots. I don't know if the Big Lots is a thing across the country, but it should be. So we are the week after, and we have a screenshot of a bunch of pretty flowers. So just to remind you, we are going to be looking at the matches, rating the show as a whole, best 90s look, and best mullet, and I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Match of the night.
Match of the night. There we go.
Yeah.
And let's see what else we got. So we'll be starting with July 12th. And I will be doing the audio here as well.
And before we get to that, I have looked up on a good friend of the Place to Be Nation, the history of WWE.com, found a show that the ECW did at the original Sports Bar on July 14th.
Wow.
The original Sports Bar?
The original Sports Bar.
Why don't we count in and we can go over that as we're going along, because I have a feeling that this first match might not be something we want to do play-by-play on. Does everyone got the screen ready?
I do.
Let's go.
All right,
I'll count you guys in. 3, 2, 1.
Vince walking us to Raw.
Speaking of soothing voices.
I was going to say, how is Vince not like absolutely hoarse every Tuesday morning?
Right.
Screaming.
I need a lozenger.
Christ.
And looks like we're at the Manhattan Center.
So in 93, Glenn, you found an ECW show. Was it still Eastern Championship Wrestling in 93?
It would have been. I did make a mistake. That show that I was looking at was from 1992.
Oh,
93, I don't have any July results. There's an August 7th show we can look out, however, that has big things popping. I can assure you.
Excellent.
I've been watching actually a lot of ECW 1993. Have any of you guys seen the Eddie Gilbert King of Philadelphia skits before?
No, I haven't watched
it in a while.
The hardcore TV episodes that are on the network, but the big shows I have not seen, and there are a couple of them that I'm kind of morbidly interested in.
Yeah, he did this thing on the, it's mostly on the hardcore TV, where he would do these King of Philadelphia skits, which was essentially him just sort of spitballing for 10 to 15 minutes. I found them pretty wretched, to be honest. Like, they had no storyline development or anything, but where I'm at now, they're setting up Ultra Clash, and Stan Hansen is coming in. Which is kind of a weird visual on ECW TV.
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially at that time with some bizarre characters.
Right.
roaming around.
Shane Douglas actually just made his debut and is aligning himself with Morocco and Snuka. So.
Sure. You got your like Sal Balomos running around. And
Wild Man Sal Balomo, wasn't that his name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, now see, this is so actually our first match is a pretty good test here, though. We got Crush versus Mexico, so this is not a straight jobber match by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and Crush was the guy who everyone was kind of picking to slam Yokozuna.
Mm-hmm.
That was who they were kind of plugging a couple weeks before the deal on the USS Intrepid.
Yeah, Crush could have been the All-American hero, right?
He's from Hawaii. It's a state.
Close enough, I guess. Barely a state.
Yeah,
he's from Hawaii, same as Yokozuna, right?
If you ever want to get punched, go to Hawaii and say, like, back in the States.
Ooh,
that is something to really get you the stink eye. And I think they actually call it the stink eye out there.
That would be quite the thing for an ignorant Howley to go out and say.
Yes.
Now, Crush is legit Hawaiian, or correct? Yeah. So this is actually the battle of two Hawaiians, Polynesians, correct? Or
correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is probably Will and Justin should probably scout this match out for the Dangerous Alliance podcast when they go to the best wrestler by state. Whoever wins this match, I think, probably has a foothold.
Foothold on Hawaii.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The main island, especially. The only other person I can think of is Curtis Iaukea. Isn't he from Hawaii, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know he at least did a lot down there. Hawaii as a promotion as a whole is really weird. The only... Like, when I think of Hawaiian wrestling, the match I remember is the Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair match from Hawaii, which has a rolling scroll of all the stock prices for the day. Continuously rolls down the bottom of it, and it's like a 45-minute match. It looks like that. It actually looks like that. I don't know what channel this was on, but...
TNA first got on Fox Sports.
Yeah, you can see what IBM was trading at in 1986 while you watch Flair go at it.
I wish I could buy IBM in 1986.
Right.
The promotion in Hawaii, I understand, is someplace that a lot of guys from the East Coast territories would try to get booked at over the winter. A little bit of a vacation when you know, all the snowstorms start coming in. You go to Hawaii and work a few nights, and the rest of the week you're in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, was it Rocky's grandmother who ran quite a bit of shows?
Yes, she did. She was mixed in with that too. I don't know. I mean, maybe some of the more renowned PTB historians can kind of set us straight on the Hawaiian wrestling history.
Wow.
Check your email.
Crush is really making an impact here. He kicked Yokozuna clean out of the ring.
Yeah, Yoko flopping right out of there.
That was a nice bump by Yoko.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crowd is just pumped for this match. Been all given American flags to wave.
They really hate the Japanese. Actually, what they probably hate is Hawaiians masquerading as the Japanese.
Yes, it's insulting.
Because New York crowds are a little more sophisticated, right?
So
what they want is a genuine ethnic representation.
If they didn't get this, they're going to go to Ultra Clash. That's, I think, what was going to happen.
So to prove that they are indeed live, as they are wont to do, they are talking about the All-Star game the next night. 93 All-Star game.
93 All-Star game. I'm imagining a lot of Braves and Blue Jays. Some Joe Carter and Fred McGriff.
Is David Justice around yet?
McGriff. Yeah, Justice was there. McGriff was still. He'd been a Padre still.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Big dog.
Yeah.
Terry Pendleton might have still been with the Braves, huh?
No, he was maybe some Jeff Blauser might have snuck in. 93 is kind of 93 for the Braves is one of those sort of weird years.
Probably a lot of Phillies too. Dykstra.
Yeah, and like Dykstra and
Wild Thing, Mitch Williams,
Schilling, probably. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got the Scott Criscolo Memorial Raw Rewatch Party. Baseball update from 93.
And
Kirby Puckett, your MVP at Camden Yards, Oriole Park.
Oh, okay, cool.
That was early
on. Puckett was the MVP in 93.
Yeah.
That was like 1 or 2 years after Camden Yards opened, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ballpark was pretty brand new.
Really cool park. I got to go there a few years ago.
Speaking of Scott's Mets.
Right before a hurricane hit.
Mm-hmm.
No, only one Brave in the starting lineup.
Really?
Was it Justice?
Yeah. I mean, Gant was always a good, you know, middle-of-the-lineup hitter, but not that, yeah, I mean, probably not quite all-star level. I don't know if he made any all-star teams, maybe in 91, 92, but.
Blauser, was a reserve, and then you got for pitchers Avery. I have his minor league rookie card somewhere. Glavin and John Smoltz.
Yeah, I met Steve Avery when I was a kid. It was great.
Yeah, he went to high school about 10 minutes from where I live, actually.
Right. And how far? I mean, Smoltz grew up there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Smoltz is Michigan, a little hike, right. Yeah.
Also, he was Scott more like in Lansing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, for Scott, there's a replica IC title belt in the crowd, and it is the white leather. Someone's parading that around.
Is there any Charlotte Hornets jackets that we
I haven't seen any yet.
Okay.
Well, for Justin, there's a guy wearing cross colors somewhere in there. If you guys remember those.
Yes, I said, was it the yellow and blue, I think?
Yes.
Now, the dude in the gray shirt in the upper left-hand corner, is that a cutoff shirt showing his terrible tan lines?
Oh, that's bad.
I think so. Steve, I think it is.
Or is he wearing some other shirt? Because if that's tan lines.
It makes sense it would be tan lines because this is July. So yeah. it probably is.
Yeah, that is not a good look, sir.
No. He's mowing the lawn in a regular t-shirt.
Right.
Decided to hit up Raw.
Spends his weeks on the shore and comes down for the wrestling show or something.
Shield our guns off because he's on TV.
Yeah. Yep. Sun's out, guns out for this guy.
Maybe there's another body slam challenge he's going to hit the ring.
Fuji is soaking wet. Yeah. For standing there.
He's just standing there.
He's sweatier than Yokozuna.
Well, Yokozuna was that sweaty when Crush was doing his entrance.
Right, yeah.
I mean it's like nowadays when everyone has to go through a shower at the gorilla position.
Yeah.
I mean Fuji's wearing a robe, so.
And he's got his shower sandals usually.
Yeah, he cannot
he's
be wearing
a shower
that.
Sandals on.
He is drenched, though. Them lights must be shining bright.
So my favorite announcement so far from Vince is that Yokozuna chopped Crush down like a chopstick crushing down an giant oak tree.
What?
What?
It made no sense. And racist,
Yeah,
a chopstick chopping down an oak tree sounds like something that someone would do, like in an aphorism about how you should try your hardest even at impossible tasks.
It sounds like a Chuck Norris joke, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, if you just keep at it, even a chopstick can take down a mighty oak.
Yeah, it's about endurance and it's about keeping the faith and casual racism.
Man, Yoko's really sweaty too. This is
This match has been longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I was gonna say I watched this match a couple months ago when I was plowing through my 1993 stuff, and this has been slower than when I watched it a couple months ago. I mean, Yoko kind of gave the nerve hold. Pretty tedious. Looks like Crush is making his comeback, so we should be nearing the end stretch here.
Yeah, Crush jumped out of the way, and Yoko hit the turnbuckle and proceeded to like walk casually into the middle of the ring.
Nice clothesline. Yoko's really bumping around nicely.
Yeah, he is. Crush is heading up top.
He's bumping a lot, that's for sure.
It's sad that he got so big because, man, he could still move at this point really well.
This feels like kind of peak Yoko because this is when he, right around the time he started doing the series, like the cage matches with Brett, and was really kind of flying around. But still, I think he still retained his menacing kind of presence too.
Oh, sure.
So that really helped out. I don't know about them punches Crush just threw to Yoko. Those did not look pretty menacing.
But before that, he got about a 2 3/4 count on Yokozuna after a shoulder block. I think it was the second row.
Oh, and there's Fuji with the flag.
Fuji actually useful here, using the flag. I think Fuji with Yoko kind of interacted more, it seems like, with his charges than he did previously. I don't know. It seemed like he was between the salt and the flag.
Well, it did give him two things to play around with other than just the cane, I guess. Although he did make a prodigious use of the cane at times. Right. I'd always like it when he would hook it on the rope.
Pull down the rope.
That was
his best one.
Man, imagine how sweaty he would be if he was wearing his old suit tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
He does have the shower sandals on.
Yeah, I was going to say, the tuxedo with the shower sandals would be a great look.
And a little known fact, you know, Old Navy opened in 1994, and Fuji was the inspiration for their $3 sandals.
I actually bought some Fuji sandals yesterday at Target. I'm going to the beach this weekend.
So. There you go.
Down to $1.97 because they're on clearance now that the weather's turning around.
Are you going to wear that robe over your swimming trunks as well?
I think I probably could go in the backyard right now and work up what Fuji's wearing if y'all would like a picture when we take our break.
That was a great
let's get it to put it on the site for this show.
Take a handful of salt.
Chad in Mr. Fuji cosplay.
Take out my dogs. I'll throw up some salt.
Yoko with a nice belly to belly and the leg drop right across Crush's forehead.
Chad, do you happen to have a Japanese flag too?
No. Only the rebel flag in my household, Glenn.
No way.
This is Georgia.
I'm afraid I'll have to leave this podcast now.
We're still waving it proudly down here in Georgia. And Tracy Smothers.
Yeah, tons of people proudly waving the treason and defense of slavery flag.
I did. Well, I 10 minutes before this podcast started, I went to get some groceries and did pass a truck that had it on the back of his bed. But yeah,
there is one in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is about 20 minutes away from me. Kind of a infamous city because of their railroad clothing. And there is someone who's driving around who has for a few years with a giant Confederate flag, and you can't get much further away from the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, yeah, we've got them. I've seen them in Connecticut, too. I mean, they're everywhere.
It's just that maybe they got lost.
And Yoko's got some nasty toenails. Those are really gross.
Yeah, those.
That's a bad camera angle.
Well, God, Yoko. I mean, Mr. Fuji does a lot of things for his charges, but I don't think he cuts their nails for him.
Could Yoko get his leg up to cut his toenails?
I doubt it.
Good task. Here comes Tatanka for the save. He gets chopped down.
No, Yoko would have to go to the spa, get a mani-pedi.
So Yoko smashed, did the bonsai drop, I think it was 3 times, correct?
Think so, yeah.
Tatanka comes out.
Oh, we're going up again.
Yoko punched Tatanka down.
Now, this is good in making Yoko look really strong because he's decimating Crush here.
And Crush was doing quite well in previous episodes of Raw.
Yeah.
Is that Joey X?
I was going to say, who is this job squad coming out?
Here are all the guys who would usually be fighting Yokozuna on a Raw.
Fuji needs to add a nail filer to his little repertoire of stuff that he has.
Oh yeah. Now Savage is getting worked up here.
Mm-hmm.
Macho USA.
Savage has to be sweating.
Well, of course, you know, Savage and Crush are best friends, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Vince is talking before this. He was telling Savage that he couldn't leave the announce booth. He's an announcer and so forth. Begging with him. I do remember that. And so Savage pulls Crush out, saves him, and that's kind of how the scene ends here. I guess for 1993 Monday Night Raw, though, this is pretty hot compared to the
scene.
Yeah,
get Macho Man in there.
This is typically stuff you'd see to, like, end superstars or something.
Right. This actually feels like some development in the main event scene.
The scrubs are still standing there, like, in the background just watching Macho hold that chair.
It's the mullet squad. All three of them.
Yeah, the scrubs
They're earning their $25 payoff.
Here comes another one.
Yeah, those scrubs are not nearly as useful as that chair. At least someone can sit on the chair.
So McMahon did say, Chad, that Savage shouldn't get involved, that he cannot get involved for his contract. But technically he didn't. He just pulled Crush out.
Well, Crush doing a stretcher job now.
That one guy has his hair like Tatanka, but it's not Tatanka. That threw me for a loop for a minute. I was like, where's the red streak? And it's somebody else.
And we also have Pat Patterson out to monitor the proceedings.
That guy's actually it's Tom Tonka. That's the other guy. Tom
Tonka. Love his trucks.
Tony Gurria, too, always.
My guess is that they had no air conditioning in this building.
Everyone
sweating.
Looks like they're sweating like pigs.
This guy's hair chest behind Bobby.
Yeah, look at this guy with the cross and the hairy chest. And
Lex Luger's jacket.
Yeah.
Heenan cutting quite the promo here, saying this is all on Luger, and when Yoko gets done with him, he's going to have two broken legs and a body cast in addition to the 180 pounds in his forearm.
180 pounds in his forearm, huh?
Mm-hmm. Bobby doesn't lie.
Wow,
like Popeye levels of forearms.
I thought the worst weight measurement I'd ever heard was at WrestleMania 10 with Jerry Lawler during the ladder match. You know, what's that ladder got away, McMahon? 80 or 100 pounds?
Yeah. It's a long-running joke with my friends. I think it was Michael Cole back when he first started was always like over-exaggerating how heavy the ring steps were. Hundreds of pounds. This is an all Polynesian episode of Monday Night Raw.
PJ Walker in the ring.
And Aaron Ferguson.
Speaking of ECW.
Yeah.
Is this Sex Ferguson's uncle?
Brother of Tara Ferguson.
Okay, that woman they just showed, that might be my 90s vote.
Yeah. Orange
brief glimpse
top
too.
Orange
we'll call her Clarissa Explains It All. Yeah. So we remember.
and her Brenda from 90210 glasses.
Yep.
Well, of course she's Clarissa. We already have
or not Brenda. Andre.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is excellent, Glenn. That is a little bit younger than me right there. So we got the head shrinkers in the ring against Turd Ferguson and Justin Credible.
Yes.
Turd Ferguson and Justin.
So, Glenn, how are you enjoying your Just Incredible matches during ECW, your pay-per-view rewatch?
Well, there's been one Just Incredible match that I thought was pretty good. I believe it was the one with Sasuke.
Okay, yep.
Otherwise, man.
Yeah, I think I'm a few seconds ahead of you guys.
Yeah, the head triggers just dropping people on their heads.
Oh my
goodness.
Crazy for that. The crowd is actually laughing. I think that's what turned PJ Walker into the Man of War.
You all thought I was just shocked that Glenn liked the Just Incredible match that much.
I thought you pulled a groin or something. Until I saw that spot, I was like, okay, that's what he's...
Tried to turn himself inside out, and he didn't.
Which of these head shrinkers did we see in our last watch against The Undertaker?
Boy,
we did see that, right?
Falls.
Samu, I believe.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember. Man, Turd Ferguson is... Oh, no, that's PJ Walker. Turd Ferguson's...
Yeah. You need some jorts with spandex underneath to help us out.
Yep.
Yeah. Turd Ferguson has cancer on his hamstring. Yeah. Some melanoma on his hamstring.
Yeah, meanwhile,
someone
PJ Walker
really
is now...
out.
Meanwhile, PJ Walker is now legally dead.
Yeah.
Someone should tweet
at him after this podcast and ask him if he was okay. He's pretty active on social media.
Yeah. You got Turd Ferguson here bumping for the head shrinker here, but none of this looks like anything after we saw PJ Walker die.
There is a dead man laying on the apron.
I really don't remember the head shrinkers during this stretch. Like, I remember the Steiner squashes where they just kill people. Mm-hmm. But the head shrinkers are pretty darn close.
Oh, yeah.
I love how Turd Ferguson went over maybe to get the tag, and then he saw PJ Walker still dead. He's like, oh, no, I'm not getting anything here.
Just get up, please, for the love of God.
And the paramedics are too busy with the fake injury.
That's right.
To help poor PJ Walker.
B.J. Walker already earned his $25 for the night.
It's one of those cutscenes where they show the ambulance leaving the arena, but now they actually need the ambulance legitimately. Good God, wow, nice that splash. Holy.
Yeah, he got right on there.
The crowd,
crowd is into the head shrinkers.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a squash.
Oh, I think that's my match of the night so far. That was pretty great.
Yes, for sure.
The good news is Turd Ferguson's fingers are moving, so he does not have paralysis right now.
He still has feeling in his extremities, unlike his tag partner, possibly. Up next, Tatanka in action.
Maybe that's why he's the Portuguese Man of War. He doesn't have a spine anymore.
It's been a fun episode so far.
Yeah. Really fun.
I'm going to get a hype video for Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels now.
We're not used to these. This is the first kind of preview for the next episode of Raw.
Yeah.
Like a little video package.
2015, they're still not quite doing the previews for next week, building the next week.
Yeah, true.
Tatanka's out.
Somebody swept up the carcass of PJ.
Yeah.
Against New York's own Brooklyn Brawler.
Ooh.
Yeah, watching this reminded me of one of the first ones we did where a Green Lantern fan proposed to his girlfriend. Now, at SummerSlam this year, we were at Coney Island before the Ring of Honor show, and lo and behold, outside of Nathan's, Green Lantern fan with his now wife, they're still together. It's a beautiful thing.
I love Grant.
Where else are they going to go?
22 years. 22 years since the engagement.
Wow. Oh, we get a Slim Jim.
Oh, this
Randy Savage hates potato chips.
Gotta have beef. Gotta have spice.
PWI Feud of the Year, third runner-up, was Macho Man versus Lay's potato chips.
Well, those potato chips in the commercial are always like the most generic. Like it was a white bag that just said potato chips. Yeah. Like, what, you going to the Dollar General and needing chips, Randy?
No, that's the bag of potato chips they use on a cooking show. When someone reveals their like mystery ingredients and it's potato chips, but they can't have a brand name on there, so some staffer for the Food Network has to make a generic package.
Savage went to the set of Chop before.
Yes, Randy Savage and Ted Allen. Nobody knows this. They were the best of friends.
They should do a wrestling Chopped.
That
would be very entertaining. How great would that be? I'm going to send that in as a suggestion.
I'd be sold on New Day cooking.
Oh, yes.
That is so great.
New Day chops.
Save the spices. Save the spices. Lemon, don't you dare be sour.
But one of my favorite parts of their Table for Three show was when Kofi was trying the clam chowder. And he's saying because he's from New England, and he knows clam chowder, and if this place wants to put New England clam chowder on their menu, it had better be good. And
it's no legal seafood.
I love how he tastes it and says the flavor is okay, but it's a little thin. It shouldn't be dribbling like this. I completely love that because I completely agree as a New Englander with everything that he said. Anyway.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the Brooklyn Brawler is here, and he looks like he's had a couple too many cups of clam chowder.
His nipples are protruding through his ripped shirt.
I will say, as a kid, like because the Brooklyn Brawler hung around so much, I thought he was, I guess, a lot more esteemed in an earlier time than he really was. I don't know. I just thought, like, oh, this guy must have been a legend, like, before I started watching. And turns out, no, he was just, Pat Patterson's boyfriend.
He'd been with the company for, like, 10 years at this point. Because he was doing jobs when they were still doing TV in Harrisburg.
Right.
Man, imagine if the Brooklyn Brawler had been like an old school legend, like Brawler versus Bob Backlund was a sellout at the Garden.
Yeah, like that's what I was thinking. Like him and Bruno had some real wars.
Bruno and the Brawler.
Yeah, nice power slam by Tatanka.
I mean, you
would have those weird defenses where, like, I guess Backlund would face Bobby Duncombe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Off Madison Square Garden.
It'd be Backlund versus Bobby Duncombe. Backlund versus, like, one of the Samoans.
Right, all right. So, it's possible, but no. He was just the Brawler.
He did have that feud with the Rooster, so... It's like one step down from Bruno.
I mean, I get he's like the Kane of this era itself.
Yeah. Corporate Brawler would be awesome. He's got like his,
that's basically what he is now.
Off like that.
It's basically what he is in all the documentaries.
It's true.
No, he comes out, he's in a full suit, but the shirt is still ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cummerbund is torn.
I know, it's like, what did this guy do? I mean, my God, not a great, I guess, endorsement for the city of New York that
no.
This mangled man with a ripped-up shirt is kind of the personification of the city as a whole.
And they're in New York, and they have this character from New York, and he always loses.
That's true, too. This is where you get jobbed out in your hometown originated, right here.
Imagine what the Brooklyn Brawler would be like today. Like if they had a new character, the Brooklyn Brawler,
right.
Basically be like Aiden English.
Yeah,
I was thinking like Bubba Dudley.
They should make like a hipster Brooklyn Brawler,
right?
He comes to the ring like sipping a latte and listening to like Mumford and Son. Yeah,
have a beanie on top of his head.
Gentrified Brooklyn Brawler.
That's right.
Watching like girls on a iPad as he comes to the ring.
Brooklyn Brawler just like basically did his version of the Lawler strap down. Took his his shirt off.
Yep.
He's getting serious.
Just his office consists of just blatant choking and eye gouging.
That's how they do in Bensonhurst. They just rip their shirt off.
Well, I don't see Brawler doing a tour of all Japan anytime soon with that arsenal of moves.
See, because the Brooklyn Brawler really does come from a time before they cleaned up New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not helping his image after he takes off his dirty Gunji shirt with like a pair of lilac trunks underneath his jeans.
Yeah, that's purple.
And a hint of lilac.
Even Brawlers like to smell nice.
Do you think those are all torn up too?
Yes.
A hint of lavender in the crotch.
Actually, that's all there is the waistband. The rest has all been torn from him.
Now, I'll give this Manhattan Center crowd this. Like, as many Raws that they get at this time, as many shows as they get, you get the same people in the crowd, but they're not like overly snarky part of the, you know, trying to make.
They're not the impact
the
zone.
Yeah, no, the impact or zone even or full, full sail at this point.
Yeah, that sort of crowd dynamic hadn't really happened yet. I think, you know, that didn't really happen until like the ECW arena crowd, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think ECW arena was the personification because, yeah, I mean, at the same time with the Manhattan Center, WCW was taping in center stage and. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of the same faces, and those crowds were jacked. And think about a studio like Memphis. I mean, certainly there was people that went to the Saturday morning wrestling there for 20-plus years and still never had the snark that you see now.
Sure.
They would still play along.
And these people are into Tatanka versus Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, this has been a lot more competitive than I would have imagined with both of these guys mm-hmm. coming out here. I don't know if I'd say it's been good, but it's been decidedly more competitive.
Meanwhile, Tatanka just won with his Samoan drop.
Wow, his tank top shorts combo on that
kid. I think
kid.
I just caught a glimpse of Faith No More guy, too.
Yep,
just
he's
for
there.
A half second.
He's sitting by Vlad.
Oh, there. Still undefeated, if you can believe that.
And they're doing the tomahawk chop like it's Fulton County Stadium.
Uh-oh. Up next, our fun episode may take a fast turn south.
They call him Mr. Hughes.
I can't wait to see how much he's sweating in his gift.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Compared to Fuji. Oh,
now, we were talking about Yokozuna before. Tatanka, I believe, is like the one guy in wrestling who is actually the ethnicity he's portrayed as.
Sure. I guess Wahoo McDaniel. So on a couple of the Native Americans, they got it right. But yeah, Chief J. Strongbow. Yeah.
Well, what are they interviewing? Was like Italian, wasn't he?
Yeah, his name's like Savoldi or Savoldi. It's like he should be running a restaurant.
Yeah.
The Godfather.
You're Native American now, pal.
I mean, at one point in wrestling, it's like anyone with a tan can just start playing in the Native American.
Now, what are these guys talking about here? Were they
discussing
Luger?
Yeah, they're all talking about how Lex Luger, because he slammed Yokozuna, should get a title shot.
Fair enough logic.
Yeah.
If PJ Walker was dead.
He's in the urn right now that Mr. Hughes is bringing up.
What created that dent in the urn?
Another ECW,
Baldy just yet.
No, beautiful mullet on the barrel chested Tonio DeVito.
He picked up Brooklyn Brawler's attire on the way out, leaving this show. He went to ECW.
Vince with a rare moment of history at this time, saying that Tony is the first cousin of Basil DeVito from years ago.
Dance dog Basil?
I hate Mr. Hughes. He sucks so bad, man. I never liked this guy.
Those are some pretty sharp glasses, though.
Yeah.
And he's not with the company much longer at this point because, you know, we were talking 93 ECW before. But Hughes makes his way there pretty shortly.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they ever blow off him and Taker, or did he split before then? I can't even remember.
Not on pay-per-view.
No.
Right. Because he's back.
If they did, it had to be on Raw or something.
He's back with good old Giant Gonzalez by SummerSlam. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was pretty cool. He caught him by the mullet and then kicked him right in the butt. I take back everything bad I ever said about Mr. Hughes.
Jordan becoming a Hughes mark as we speak.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's smart. If you incorporate the mullet yank into your offense, you're going to be pretty successful in this era of wrestling, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That
makes the mullet kind of a disadvantage, like a cape in The Incredibles.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Crush wants nothing to do with Mr. Hughes.
Ooh. That was a nice bump on the turnbuckle.
Oh, so nice of Undertaker to put the name tag on the reef on who to deliver it to.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there a post-it note in the reef?
It looked like he underlined it to really emphasize driving home.
Well, originally he was just going to send it out there, but then the fans might have been confused and thought it was for PJ Walker.
That'd have been an awesome rib if somebody in the back would have changed the note card right before he goes out there.
Next week will be Raw is PJ Walker. We have the tribute.
The whole roster's out in the balcony of Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, God. Mad to be
Tatanka. Tatanka with a single tear down his eye as he mourns.
Now, could Hughes recite a poem and cry like Mark Henry?
No, right? That's when they bring out Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, that's right. The genius.
Mr. Hughes wins, LOL. So here's a trivia question for you guys. What, you know, PWI just came out with their 500 a couple weeks ago. In 1993, where was Mr. Hughes ranked in the PWI 500?
Oh, wow.
467.
Now it'll be higher.
Right.
I'm going to guess 250, 260.
All right, Jordan?
Well, when does the PWI 500 come out? Like the fall?
don't remember 1993.
I'm going to say like 150, and even 150.
All right, Chad?
I'm on Price is Right and go 149.
And you'd all be over because it's 62.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Yep. That's why I brought it up. I was shocked.
I would beg to differ.
Yeah. He's not even my 62nd favorite wrestler on this episode.
Well, let's look at some of the people kind of around him. Do you have the list up? Is there anybody like really glaring?
See if I can get it here.
Meanwhile, while Steve's looking that up, Mr. Hughes pulled out that post-it note, and on the back it said, "From The Undertaker."
Yeah, exactly. It had to be signed.
Just in case you didn't know.
SummerSlam reports.
Yeah, so Kenta Kobashi is number 69. 97 spots behind Mr. Hughes.
He's ahead of Tito Santana, which even in 93 is all right.
Regal,
he's ahead of Steve Regal, Jim Duggan.
Barely squeaked out Cactus Jack, who's 53. Ultimo Dragon, 77. Yeah, this is going to piss me off. This is even worse than their list now. You got Jimmy Snuka. Listen to these five people. You got Jimmy Snuka, Jerry Sags, Ultimo Dragon, and Abdullah the Butcher back to back. I mean, what in the world? Goodness. Max Payne, two ahead.
Who's number 500 that year?
Let's see.
I always like that.
Turd Ferguson. What,
probably Mr. La-La.
Oh, Mr. Ooh-La-La? Yeah.
Garbage Man.
Garbage Man. Who the hell is Garbage Man?
Oh, it's Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
That was
right?
The future Duke Drosy, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Super Mario's number 499.
Was Bowser 498?
Mr. Nasty number 489. Miss Texas 483.
Yeah, Mr. Nasty.
I'm just reading how far do you have to get from the end before there's someone I've heard of.
Well, Miss Texas.
Johnny Ace is 478.
Well, guys, you know who Miss Texas is, correct?
Yeah,
Glenn?
It's Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Oh, okay.
We is got this a Too Cool Scorpio video?
Oh, Jamie Dundee at 485.
Guys, I think we just locked up our 90s. Moments.
Yeah, this
Men on
video.
A Mission. Wait,
yeah, the Men on a Mission videos, all of them are incredible and incredibly
'90s. With the
fake
background
of the
background of the projects of 175th Street and the Bronx.
Oh my God.
That's probably the neighborhood it's in.
So are they the Bronx brawlers then? Technically,
We are seeing a little bit of the old New York.
I'm trying to take a breath here before I crack up. Mo is my man. He's my boo.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a little ahead of its time for 92.
I was going to say, that's progressive. Yeah, right. Is Mabel's Oscars Bay?
Somebody graffitied Mabel on the side of the building. Awesome.
495, and he's built to last.
This must have been on a Sunday because all the bodegas are closed down. It's got the gates on them.
Well, like a scene from The French Connection underneath.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know, they did have a very brief SummerSlam. What do you call it? A report with Gene, and they announced Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler as the only match.
And now we have a nuclear explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's the series finale of Raw. This is
exactly. Somebody else taking it to the streets by dropping an A-bomb.
Brian Christopher at 41?
Oh, Johnny Polo. I forgot.
Johnny Polo's
forgot
about album
yeah.
is amazing.
I always think about him as being with Harvey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, did he just Cabbage Patch?
He sure did.
Beautiful.
He's on a mission, too.
Polo suit looks like something Vince would wear now.
Oh, wow.
Scott Amati.
Chad, do you want to throw up? Mr. Hughes, 62. Lord Steven Regal, 71.
I know. I'm telling you.
I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, this was a terrible rabbit hole you drove me down. 369 is Death Row number 362.
Oh, I've been at the top of the list here.
I don't know who that is. Yeah, the bottom of the list is like the worst names you've ever heard in wrestling. 354 is just White Cloud.
371, One Man Gang, still kicking. 372, yeah. SD Jones.
And Rotten Ron Starr at 73, Tommy
Rich. I want to watch a White Cloud match.
Even the 200s are some. 206, Muhammad the Butcher. 207, Dane Rush.
Is he related to Sam the Butcher?
208, Thunder. 209, Watsumi, the Rising Sun.
What?
214, Laley, L-E-Y.
243, Moondog Cujo.
343, Ivan Putski.
The aforementioned Sal Balomo, 227.
This is... Yes. Oh, Miss Texas on here twice. Oh, come
what's,
on. Now,
what's funny is back then in 93, they could have just made up 300 of these names and none of us would have known.
Right.
Nobody would have known, yeah.
Well, so Miss Texas is 249 and 483 on this list.
She beat out Flex Lavender.
One for
I need confirmation.
Flex Lavender. That's one for each boob for her, I guess.
So wait a minute. Who's number one here? Oh, so Brett's number one. Vader's number two, Sean's number three. So the top three isn't terrible.
Who was the token Japanese guy in the top 10 that year?
They actually, I was looking for that. The top Japanese person was 19 at Muda.
Okay. Liger 299, Buddy Landell 336.
Followed not far behind by Liger.
Let me see where they gave Misawa a bone.
Here we go. Here's your Japan. Muda at 19, 21 at Liger.
Yeah, Misawa was all the way down at 92.
92, right. Barely squeaked out. He splits Don and Ron Harris. They're 91 and 92.
Wow.
So he's just barely better than Ron, but not quite as good as Don.
And 30 spots worse than Mr. Hughes.
Fucking Charlie Norris is two spots ahead. Hercules.
Charlie Norris, oh my goodness.
My mind has just exploded. Iceman Parsons in 1993 at 82. Wow.
That one was surprising, too.
Is that how old he was in 1993?
About 7 years after he was relevant.
Yeah, right?
I wish the live chats existed when 93 PWI dropped, because...
It's a good thing we fell down this rabbit hole, because otherwise we'd have to talk about an Adam Bomb Squash.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know who this guy is. Amonte?
Scott?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him either, but that's all she wrote.
Bomb hit his shitty power bomb.
Oh, that was a weak power bomb, wasn't it?
Mm.
Well, the most glorious thing about this last half of the episode is Johnny Polo's outfit.
It's glorious.
Yeah, that's not really a 90s contender, I guess, because it's just bizarre. It's kind of just awesome.
Yeah, Johnny Polo is bizarre in any time period.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
Just about how we wrap up our episode, but we've got another minute to go.
Yep.
These live.
Zooming in on what it looks like a 12-year-old girl wearing barely a shirt. That's a really classy way to go off the air there, guys.
Is she showing off her guns, too? Tickets are still available for next week.
I got to say, decidedly more females in the crowd this night than at the Ring of Honor show I saw at the...
they announced that Jerry the King Lawler is going to have Tiny Tim in our next episode in the King's Court.
Oh,
hey guys, I think I'm going to go to bed early, okay?
Yeah.
Christmas in July?
Vince McMahon and Bobby did some sweet riffing.
Mom debuts.
Tiny Tim.
Mom debuts next week.
Oh my good God.
Not a flattering picture of Marty Jannetty there in the graphic.
No.
Yeah, Marty Jannetty is looking highly skeptical.
They look like they told him, all right, Marty, give me
Then they zoom in on a guy who spelled the word awesome wrong in his sign.
All right.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Marty Jannetty looks like someone just told him, no, we want you to not do any coke before the match.
Yeah.
And by the way, Tiny Tim's going to be on, too.
You want me to... I'm going to pee in a cup now?
All right, guys, let's...
Like the dude spelled awesome wrong.
Wait, the brawler didn't fight Bruno? Huh?
Oh, man.
Mr. Hughes was ranked where?
Wow. That wasn't baking soda I sniffed in my nose.
Oh, man. So let's go with match of the night. We'll start off with that here.
Okay.
I got to go with the head shrinkers.
Head shrinkers squash?
Yeah.
George?
I was going to do that too.
Okay. Chad?
I'll give a token vote to Crush versus Yoko.
You know, that didn't suck. It wasn't terrible.
I will. That was what I was going with too. Yoko Crush. I like Yoko bumping around and then just obliterating Crush at the end. So, but we will vote 3-2 in favor of the head shrinker squash.
Yeah.
Most 90s. I know Jordan had nominated the lady with the orange dress in the.
Yeah, but I'm fine if we switch it to the entire Men Animation video.
Yeah,
that is fine.
Yeah, I got to go with the Men on a Mission.
And that's kind of an iconic moment, too, the Men on a Mission mm-hmm. video.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On Monday Night Raw. Okay, and for mullet, I'm gonna suggest the mullet squad that ran out to try to save Crush.
That's a good one.
I have a second option.
Yes?
The one that Mr. Hughes ripped. Like,
I was going to say
was
that,
it DeVito? Yeah. Tony DeVito?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either one is a worthy choice, though.
Jason, you have a vote between the mullet squad and the Tony DeVito?
I'm gonna go with DeVito just because Hughes kicked him in the ass after he pulled it.
Chad?
Yeah, I think DeVito on the strength of that.
All right, so we got Tony. So we got that. We have, I guess we got a rank, right?
Yeah.
Glenn, how about you? Let's rank this. You will draw the short straw here.
This is what, episode rating?
Yeah, episode rating, 1 through 10.
I am going to go with a 6.
All right, and Jordan?
You know, I thought it was fun. I mean, maybe it's just fun talking about it or talking over it, but I'll go with 6.5.
Chad?
I was thinking 5.5. I'd say above average because of the storyline advancement. I mean, the second half was essentially squash matches, but I really liked the first half. I thought it was very well done.
And Greeny?
I'm gonna go with a 6. I agree with Chad. The storyline development and the head shrinker squash sold it for me. Plus the Yoko Crush match was really good itself.
And I was thinking 6.2 in the first half, so much stronger than the second half. If that would have picked up a little bit, it would have ranked a little higher. But so you know, average almost exactly a 6. All right. Whew. It's a little tiring after that first one. That was a lot of fun, actually.
Right?
We still have one more episode to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be taking a quick break, and we will be listening to a little bit of commercials. Come back. Got one more episode to go, the July 19th. We already know that we got Shawn Michaels versus Marty for a main event, and by God, Tiny Tim, 1993. We will be back after a few.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscolo and me on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse. And join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We featured the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClune Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman Podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keith's RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only place to be nation podcast network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's tag teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO-PTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back to the Raw Rewatch Party for PTBN. Since we are not really sure when this is going to launch, not going to really go through the website at all. But Jordan, what do you got to plug in your life? What's going on in your life?
Well, depending on when this airs, I may or may not be 36 years old. So we'll see. Hopefully I make it that long. I don't pull a PJ Anderson, you know? Other than that, my sports teams either suck or have bad referees make poor play calls and make them suck even worse. So nothing on that front to talk about. How about you? mean like just in the realm of Place to Be Nation?
In life in general. Probably say that no matter when this drops, that like my kids were sassy and I'm tired and like. Yeah, someone probably drove me nuts today.
They just stepped in a big pile of sassy.
You got there before I could.
Can we announce the thing that you're going to be doing? Is that a – I mean, like as I just drop this
oh,
on you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Jordan is going to be launching his own podcast. Of course, it's going to be the history of the Fox Show 24. Why don't you explain it a little bit, Jordan?
No, it's basically going to be a three-person show each week, myself and two guests. And not each week. I don't think it's going to be weekly, but each episode, myself and two guests. And we'll have a topic that we discuss before each show. I'm going to ask our guests to come up with their top 10 of whatever the topic may be. And we will list our top 10 and go over all three of our lists and maybe make a cumulative ranking by the end of the episode and make a definitive top 10 of that episode's topic. So not going to limit it to wrestling either. Going to be all kinds of pop culture stuff so we can get away from WWE for a little while if we want to or come back to it whenever we feel like it. So it'll be fun. Got my first two guests lined up. They are terrific.
This was not cleared with all the powers that be at the PTBN.
Well, I got the okay from Johnny Sorrow and
Say, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Well, this is probably going to be posted 2 weeks after we talk about it, so you've already approved it. Yeah.
By the time this goes up, we're on episode 8. So
I just sent a frantic Facebook chat message to the Mother Brain Trust.
Chad, you were so excited about it.
Jordan has a podcast with about 15 question marks after.
No, I didn't say it was under the Place to Be Nation umbrella. I may be going to the competition there. I may be getting creative. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you're straight shooting. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, let's stop controlling the conversation. Top 10 Boy Meets World principles. Glennie, my man, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, Jordan mentioned he might be turning 36 soon if he's lucky. I'm turning 31 in a few weeks or a few hours, depending on when this goes up.
Or yesterday.
Or maybe.
Happy birthday, Glenn.
Who knows? Thank you so much. I have every week on PlaceToBeNation.com to get back to the nominal topic at hand, the Wednesday Walk Around the Web. It is a weekly link roundup of anything I find interesting or amusing or significant every Wednesday morning at PlaceToBeNation.com. I am also a one of the main three of the super extreme vault, which we also rather prodigiously mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, their next episode is going to be a November to Remember.
our next episode, the next episode we're planning for October of 2015, don't know when this is going to go up, is going to be on Japanese death matches.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to get some Terry Funk in there. We're going to get some Cactus Jack in there. We're going to get Sabu in there, I think.
Some Onita?
Yes.
None of those guys ranked higher than Mr. Hughes in the PWI 500.
And like any good employee for Place to Be Nation, the list was vetted with the true wrestling historian of Place to Be Nation before.
You say vetted or gutted?
No, I think some of the competitors might get gutted.
I did have a little input on that, so I hope you do enjoy the matches, Glenn.
Very nice, very nice. I will do my utmost, as always. There won't be any Just Incredible matches, so that's all right.
No, I can assure they will not.
Since, as we just saw, he died in 1993, so I don't know what the hell he's doing on all these shows in 99. But that's the next one we're planning. We just did Cyber Slam 99, which was an interesting show. Very interesting to talk about, so that was fun. And I flit around a few of the other podcasts. I'm on the main event sometimes. I'm on a couple other things here and there. That's my life. That's what's going on the website.
Glenn, can we drop the news about your
Chad,
new show?
How about you? How's... Ooh.
I have a new show that I've been in discussions about, but those discussions have only resulted in a title and not any content yet. But we can drop the news that I am planning on elbowing my way into your new show, if you'll have me.
I will. I think Glenn's new show is going to be ranking my shows.
Green, how's things going on your front, North Carolina?
It's going great.
You're really holding up South Carolina so it doesn't fall into the ocean.
Yeah, much better in South Carolina.
Spoiler alert, in segment 3, we'll be previewing the 2018 NHL season.
Yeah.
But seriously, everything I'm involved with, check out, well, Jordan 2. Check out our Seinfeld series rewatch every Friday. We are now in season 6. By the time this posts, we could have started a Frasier series rewatch.
Mad About You.
Mad About You coming up after that.
I'd be in on Frasier, actually.
It's a great show.
Yeah, Frasier was a show I hated as a kid.
I'm going for Party of Five. Really,
yeah.
And Chad, I'm going to recommend right off the bat the top 100 matches that you and Parv did for Where the Big Boys Play. I am going to be tackling that next week, and I'm incredibly excited to listen to it.
Thanks. Yeah, that was kind of a labor of love. That was a labor of love. I don't know when we're going to be doing Beach Blast, because Parv is legitimately writing a book, unlike all these podcasts that are popping up apparently on the website. So he's off writing a book. So he's been kind of out of commission. But hopefully soon we'll be able to continue with 1992 WCW, because this is a really fun period of the promotion.
Is Beach Blast, tournament?
No, Beach Blast is Steam Cactus Jack.
That's right.
And then Rude Steamboat 30-Minute Iron Man.
What was the tag tournament in 92? Was that Great American Bash?
Yeah, it started at the Clash of the Champions,
which,
in typical WCW fashion, was taped before Beach Blast, but airs after Beach Blast. And then it finishes at Great American Bash.
Okay.
You know, we were talking VHSs. I think we were talking that off the air. And I had the 1992 Beach Blast VHS from Blockbuster and bought it, previously viewed, for like $3. Like, the advantage of working at Blockbuster back in the day, finding those gems, taking them home. I think that Rude Steamboat match was cut to pieces. We're really just avoiding the Light Express National Tour, guys, to be honest with you, because that's where we're going to be starting. And I'm really nervous about this episode with the preview we had. So right now we are on the screen with the Light Express National Tour with I wouldn't call it a bevy of beauties as much as just possibly, as Jordan said, our most 90s
screenshot
probably going to come. Right from these first few seconds. So we are, yeah. All right, we are all on the big screen here. Mm-hmm. And we will count everyone in who's playing at home. 3, 2, 1. So did this come near anybody? That was anybody aware of the Lex Express coming to their town that's on the panel here?
I am not. I was interested in how many places it actually went through.
Because there's about a good 200-300 people there, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Really, obviously, Lex Luger talking about America, like giving a speech. I want to say it was in the preview. I think it said Philadelphia and D.C.
So you think
wearing a red, white, and blue striped dress shirt.
So you think they approve of America in D.C.?
I don't know. It depends how hard they lobby.
Wow.
Get the Monday Night Raw opening video that we did not get last time.
This crowd is amped up.
Now, this one is live.
Mm-hmm.
Rosati Sisters in the front row there.
Rosati Sisters,
yeah. Yep. That. Yep. That guy was able to correctly spell Let's Get Raw, so already ahead of the person.
Well, that's why you want to make the title of your show simple.
Macho Man looks like Doink the Clown in that getup. That is
a
colorful array of colors there.
Come flex with Lex. That does not sound appealing at all.
Is that what the kids were calling it in 93?
Look at that.
Mom, I'm flexing. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Are you with Lex, dear?
Bobby Heenan about the debut of Men Mission, saying that MON stands for Men Who Live and Sleep at a Mission.
Bobby.
That's what I love about Bobby's jokes is, like, even if no one else laughs, he's going to tell it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. We start out.
Sean.
Ooh, Sean showing off the black Intercontinental title belt, I believe.
That's a rarity, yes.
There's a very deep ring sign. Deep down, everyone is Raw.
Well, you know, Jordan, it's really talking about truths of the human condition and how when you really get introspective, when you practice meditation, and when you look within yourself, you start to see things that maybe you wouldn't see on a cursory examination.
Mm-hmm. Like really awesome wrestling, R-A-W. Mm-hmm.
And they took us back to Raw 9 weeks ago, which is something you generally don't see on a wrestling show these days.
Right?
Seem to be forgetting what happened 9 weeks ago, where Marty Jannetty upset Shawn Michaels for the title with the help of Mr. Perfect.
Diesel is here showing off a jacket with some beautiful rhinestones.
And cowboy boots, too, that Diesel has.
Rhinestone cowboy.
Exactly. Thank you. The Saudi sisters like it.
Yeah. Yep. Marty wearing his 1998 WCW gear.
Yep.
Probably his 2015 indie gear, too, to be
honest. Yeah, I think he's still up us now. That was the look on his face last week. Yeah, he's like, you got to wear this for 25
years. It's the only one that he hasn't sold on eBay.
Yeah.
Looks like the exact same outfit as he's got on underneath, too.
Right. So here we go. Match of the year, potentially, here. Mm-hmm. In some circles, I guess we can say.
Yeah, we're going to start off at the highest of highs. And oh, my goodness, we have our first offering for me here.
Oh, no!
Like,
was this the match that was PWI match of the year?
Yes. How was this one?
Okay.
Well, we just saw how their other ranking was.
You're right. Yeah.
Must be a lot of Mr. Hughes interference in this one, then.
I still say Sean looks really chubby.
He does.
Yeah.
93.
I forget where I was reading, but he said that this is about the time where he was up all night partying and stuff, and he'd go to diners at like 3 a.m. and like eat pancakes and then go like right to bed. So eating pancakes before bed is probably not the best thing.
I mean, yeah, Marty's in better shape than he is. Just
right.
Marty looks really good. Yeah, Sean's really, really wide.
Yeah, now I watched this match about a month ago and I enjoyed it, but today I just actually was posting on Pro Wrestling Only about the SummerSlam 93 Shawn Perfect match, and I kind of came to the realization as I was talking about that match that I think 1993 Shawn Michaels may actually be my least favorite year in ring from him, from when he debuted to 1998 when he left. Which I think that would be kind of an unpopular, kind of weird opinion, but...
Yeah, because it's kind of like his breakout year, in a way.
Yeah, like, I'm mm-hmm. really high on the Rockers, and I haven't watched a lot of 92. 92's a blank slate. That's the last year of the 90s I need to go through.
I mean, thinking about Sean's, like, big matches that he had Marty at the Rumble, he had Tatanka at Mania, Crush at King of the Ring.
Yeah, he filled in for Lawler at Survivor Series.
He filled in for Lawler at Survivor Series. Yeah. Right. And then, a couple of good TV matches. So, yeah, I mean, I can agree with that.
Yeah, and I also watched on the yearbook set, there was a Shawn Perfect house show match from Providence. And that match was just awful. Like, they were not in the mood to do anything. They teased walking out multiple times. Mm. It was just...
Was that around this time, like summertime?
Yeah, it was June, 1st of June. Okay. It was like straight shtick that Sean was doing. I thought they made the SummerSlam match look really great in comparison.
So,
it was
so that was like, that was like right before he brought Diesel in.
Yes. Because he brought him in at the
right. Diesel came in at the house show in Albany.
Right.
Right before King of the Ring. Yep.
He really just doesn't have any definition at all.
Completely crushed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Sean just missed a look like it was supposed to be a splash into the turnbuckle, but he kind of hit his head on it. It was a weird dive.
He's moving kind of slow. Wrestled. Let him catch his breath.
Pretty menacing look from Diesel there on the outside.
Yeah, Diesel's kind of grimacing.
Fun fact, Diesel, in my mom's eyes, was the most attractive wrestler. So that's always a good fact.
I'm having a lot of fun with that fact.
Yeah, she really did think he was big sexy.
Hulk Hogan all the way. That was my mom's opinion. As well as the opinion of the Nail's father, the King of the Ring.
we're kind of full circle in all this match because Jennifer, my wife, actually thinks Shawn Michaels is pretty attractive. So all around, haven't met anyone that prefers Hardy. But
my wife's roommate in college, when they were getting into wrestling, just because I was, she had on her computer as a screensaver that Shawn Michaels. A nude cover with the belt, like it's like a 2-page.
yeah,
it was. Yeah, it's from the Raw magazine. From the Raw magazine. Brett called it the cheesecake photo.
It sure was.
It's actually cool little spot there where Marty went to do a fist drop, and Sean moved, but Marty just like knew that he moved and just DDT'd him anyways when he got up.
And we have the false finish here where where Marty thinks he's won the title and the whole crowd thinks he's won the title and everyone is elated and but Raw will return and things will be different.
Marty still has no idea that Diesel was in the ring. That's how coked up he was.
No, yeah.
Now, I mean, you didn't really see many... I guess, overturning of decisions that favor the heel. This feels like one of the rare ones where, I mean, we come back from break and the match is continuing and we really, I don't think they do show a replay or anything about how Hebner came to the realization. It's just, I guess, a fact of life. And
I think one way that Hebner comes to the realization is that Diesel runs in the ring and yells at him. And when Diesel is standing in front of you yelling at you, you listen.
You do what he says.
That's right.
Yeah. Of course, Sean's whole leg was draped over the bottom rope.
Right. It wasn't even his foot on the rope. It was like his thigh was on the rope. Yeah.
Pretty awful officiating job from the onset. So.
That's the worst, when they look straight down into the mat when something like that is going on. Yeah. Like, they're not even bothering looking at the shoulders. They did say in commentary that during the break, they looked at the replay and determined that his foot was on the rope. But they have not shown the replay at all.
Did they have a discussion with George Steinbrenner during the break?
I was just going to say, instant replay in wrestling, is that controversial? Hebner go under the hood?
at least Hebner counts a pinfall where he gets down on the mat instead of Bronco Lubitsch that we're seeing in World Bronco Class Lubitsch, where he gets down on one knee. The guy only gets down on one knee and just like slams the mat like he's swatting a fly that's on the canvas. It's awful. It's the laziest officiating.
I think I mentioned this in one of our chats, but I have a guy from high school who I knew who lives down in Texas, and at his, I think at the local university's library right now, they have a photo retrospective of the Sportatorium, and there are tons of old World Class pictures, and they had a bunch of
the old world class guys there for the premiere, and he got to go see it. I think Johnny Mantell was there, and the pastor of his church, not Johnny Mantell, my friend, is, man, I'm going to forget his name right now, the ring announcer.
Mark Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mark Lawrence, yeah. Is his pastor.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Amazingly cool.
Yeah.
Great. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, yeah. When I went through the 1990 yearbook, I saw where Mark Lawrence left. By this time, he was the ring announcer. It wasn't Mercer anymore. He was the commentator. And he was going to become the pastor of the church. So he left. I do hope, if I do go to Dallas for WrestleMania 32, I kind of want to go by the site where the Sportatorium was, even though I guess now I think it's a field I know it's torn down, but
sure.
No remnants, but just to go.
That was kind of the start of my fandom, was the kind of, everything popped up in Chicago around the same time, WWF and WCCW. My big regret there was, like, man, I had a friend who was watching World Class and went to high school with him. We're on the same team, and we didn't know it.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
There's not many of those when you're growing up. You're kind of ostracized.
Right.
So we're back from the second commercial break now.
Second commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think, even though I was kind of dogging on Sean's 93 here, I do think in this match you see him, show more energy and desperation that kind of makes this match stand out a little bit from his other output throughout the year, in my opinion.
And I like Marty also, too, like really being frustrated after the call was overturned.
Yeah, Marty, I think, is really good underneath. I mean,
Bobby. Bobby insinuating that Marty's been jealous of Sean's success.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah. Right.
If he was jealous in 1993, man.
Yeah. Imagine. He could main event WrestleMania 32 with his jealous now.
It might need it.
Right.
Yeah, Marty is selling all his clothes on eBay while Sean, does he still have his hunting show?
That's in one of the
hunting shows. Car over the last 3 years.
Yeah. Making his one-a-year appearance on the pre-show panels.
Yeah, I guess at this point it does feel like Sean's never going to wrestle another match, right? I mean,
no.
I'd say that's...
I hope not.
95%, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think he'll be involved somehow in April, come Mania.
You know, Marty Jannetty furiously tapping out, but apparently that's not how you give up yet.
No,
not yet.
No, that's so weird watching that, yeah. That's the one thing watching the 80s. It's like everybody is tapping out on a chin lock, but he's beating like a drum.
Or maybe that's just awful officiating by Hebner again.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, once again, Sean has his foot all on the rope and Hebner cannot see it.
Nope.
This is twice now. Always kind of dislike that spot where the rope was really dangling and moving like crazy and the referee had to act.
The referee has no clue.
Yeah, they have to act like they don't understand why.
A big gust happened.
And it's still shaking like 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
Yeah, still reverberating.
I think it's important to note that this is TNA Hall of Fame member Earl Hebner refereeing this match. None of the other people on this match or in the Hall of Fame.
What? Does he still work for TNA or is he done now?
I believe so.
I think he does, yeah.
He may have won the world title at Bound for Glory. I don't know.
See, that's the one thing that TNA got on before WWE did. Because, I mean, if he was still in WWE, I'd be pulling for him to get into the Hall of Fame. Because he's been part of enough moments. But in TNA, I mean, what big TNA moments has he been a part of to get in their Hall of Fame?
And really, if you ask me to think of a TNA moment, I think of Don West and Mike Tenay doing that ridiculous high five after that one match.
Yes.
Like Samoa Joe versus Scott Steiner, I think, for a random against all odds 2008 or whatever, some nonsense.
Well, yeah, I mean, you ask me to think of TNA, it's either a lot of the really shitty moments or, you know, the Professor Scott Steiner promo or Jay Lethal doing Ric Flair to Ric Flair. Yeah. The two greatest things that TNA has ever produced.
Yeah, I'd say for me it's either that high five or a puppet in the trash can. That's my
also Cheeks.
An Alzheimer.
Yep. I did like the X Division.
Marty
too.
Just took to the outside.
Jordan,
what was that called? Paparazzi?
Is that
what they were?
And then hit a rocker dropper after
and
through it across body.
And of course, Earl Hebner is concentrating greatly on Shawn Michaels while Diesel tosses Marty like a sack of potatoes.
There's a guy in the crowd with blonde mullet and sunglasses who looks like the guy from Lizard Lick Towing.
Lizard Lick Towing.
Oh, that's how the match ended. Whoa.
Yeah. I like that, though, kind of. I mean, Marty took a big chance.
Look at that big wet spot on the mat from...
Yeah.
So, are we sure that was the match of the year?
We are sure that was the quote-unquote match of the year.
Okay.
Oh.
That was a perfect... That was a perfectly fine match, but...
That was not better than the one when Marty came back.
Yeah, is that even the Sean and Marty match of the year? I mean...
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. I'll look that up while y'all kind of talk whether a Japanese match had ever been match of the year.
That was like Savage's bag of generic potato chips that they just showed. Yeah, yep. They're good, but I prefer a bag of Lay's over it.
Savage cutting a promo on those chips right now is what I can assume to Bobby. Yep. You don't buy me that generic stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah. I remember when we were in the studio and they showed me this bag of potato chips. And I said, no, it doesn't have any beef.
It doesn't have any beef.
So no Japanese match has ever been PWI match of the year.
That's not the most surprising thing.
But, I mean, even in the U.S., I mean, like, okay, Vader versus Sting, the strap match from Super Brawl. Even in the WWE,
Bret and Perfect at the King of the Ring.
Yeah, Bret versus Perfect, King of the Ring
from that tournament. Yeah,
I mean, I'd probably rank that at about a 3-star match if I gave a star rating on it. Mm-hmm. And you look at the other PWI matches of the years, and they're not bad.
Meanwhile, now we've got Ted DiBiase.
Do you guys
want to
know what Bobby and...
I feel like Steve is on a 7-second delay.
Arguing about... Yeah, am I? I might be.
Yeah, a little bit.
So Marty Jannetty is coming down to the ring.
Ted DiBiase now showing off his quilted white suit.
Yeah, now this was number one in the par of Ted DiBiase suit power ranking.
Oh, man.
Well, there's one episode of my podcast I won't do, I guess.
Which is a legitimate thing where he ranked like 8 of DiBiase's suits.
That's a great suit, but no way it's better than the green one.
I think I like the silver and the purple.
I was just going to say that. I really am partial to those purple lapels.
Yeah.
Especially with Virgil in a matching suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big upset that this come out number one. I think maybe the white on white was number one. This does have the gold, so... This is kind of an alternate version of that.
Where would white on white? Where would he have worn that?
I don't know. It was the? I think it's around this time period. Didn't he switch it up where it was kind of the darker cream color? Or,
I remember him where he wore the white on white at SummerSlam.
Okay. His face is as red as Vince's bow tie at this point.
Yeah, both him and Vince are having good hair days. I'll give them that.
Yeah, here comes the bad guy.
Yeah, on our last rewatch, these two had cut a promo on Razor saying what a fool he was for giving up all his money.
Giving up his money, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Razor's outfit is looking pretty swank.
Yeah, yeah, pretty nice. This might be a 90. Well, I don't know. Is that more 80s or is that an 80s holdover? Yeah, that
could be 90s. Shirt. 90s Miami, maybe. But
yeah, that's 90s South Florida. He's dressed like the kind of guy that Jannetty would buy his stuff from.
Yeah, that shirt that looks like a window at my church is kind of one of the stained glass windows we have.
The sleeves rolled up.
Don't suppose he's got a pack of cigarettes in the rolled up sleeves.
Yeah, right.
like Scheider from what show was that? One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time.
Oh my God, is Johnny Sorrow on the line? What is this, One Day at a Time? My goodness.
How many children are jumping on trampolines right now?
Well, my cousin just ran in and said that John Cena won, so this was awesome. This segment ruled. It was a blast.
It's one of those jokes that maybe like seven people. But for those seven people, it is a real good joke.
It's pretty hilarious. Meta.
Yeah.
See, you got to listen to all of the Place to Be Nation
right.
podcasts.
We're
digging deep.
Shots fired. It's a new feud. Reaction Show versus Live Watch Crew.
We're digging the crates for all these jokes.
Digging
here.
The crates.
I got
to read between the sheets. You'll figure out what we're talking about.
DiBiase, I think, is legitimately sunburned on the back.
Yeah.
So this is pretty much Razor's face turn.
Oh, yeah, this kind of solidifies Razor's face turn. Probably, I guess the last thing to note, DiBiase does in the WWF as an active performer.
Mm-hmm. Is he put Razor over at SummerSlam.
Right, yep. So this kind of sets that off.
And I'll tell you what, being at a lot of shows around this time, Razor was getting face pops
lot. Yeah, I was just thinking,
so,
he was
I mean,
one of the first
they had
cool
to.
Bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So DiBiase is furious and saying he's going to challenge the 1-2-3 kid to show Razor how weak he actually is.
Yeah, and that's a cool. We'll get to that on a couple. Actually, it's kind of weird because they had a match on Superstars and then they have one on Raw, and the one on Superstars I think is a lot better. But we'll get to that on a few months down
mission.
The line.
Have a Raw day.
Man, everybody was really wearing the colorful attire.
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm.
And, gentlemen, the mom are here.
The mom.
Yeah. Why haven't you called?
Vladimir is into it.
This is a lot of white folk waving their arms in the air.
A lot of sweaty white folk. Yeah. It's got to be hot in that building. Yeah.
Man, that is a mullet right there. Wow.
There you go. That's grand champion mullet.
I love those sides. Hi, Mom. I'm on Raw. Except with the dots, so it's really, hi. I'm on a mission. I'm on Raw. And so are you. We are equally on Raw.
I used to think that Mo is in, like, his 60s because of the color of his goatee. He looked so old.
Wasn't he, like, really legitimately old, though, when they did their run? And Mabel's, like, really
he's like
young.
20, he's, like,
yeah.
22.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, Mabel was really young when he started.
Did they even pop up a Chiron for whoever these
jokes
are they're fighting?
No. Yeah. One looks like Jonathan Coachman.
Rich Myers and Rich Myers and Hank Harris.
Oh, okay.
Hank Harris. I heard.
And they dropped the fluorescence right on his.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's Hank Harris in the ring.
Oh, God. Mabel just doing a body slam.
Yeah, that body slam, he almost dumped him right on his head.
Yep. There comes the.
And I quote, "Mabel and Mo are the neighborhood." That is an actual quote from the announcer.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Vince.
Well.
Here comes the worker of the team, Mo.
Mo, too scared.
Yeah, this guy looks like if Savio Vega and Coachman had a love child.
Who's to say they didn't?
Yeah. Talk about the love that dare not speak its name.
It might be Eddie Kingston. He looks kind of like Eddie Kingston, doesn't it?
He does.
Holler at your boy.
Give him the spinning back fist, Eddie.
Mabel's going for the Chikar Grand Championship. Actually, Men on a Mission would be a very fun. Yeah, Men on a Mission would be a very fun King of Trios. Oh, is Mabel dead? Is Mabel dead?
Mabel's dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, they would not.
Mabel is dead.
Well, that would be tough to recreate, but maybe
Mabel's dead, and Oscar was never a wrestler.
Well, you know, I mean, he can do his thing. So
yeah,
it's
I
a
guess.
Trios tournament.
Chikara can make it happen.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys bump into Oscar either working at Johnny Rockets or in line at Johnny Rockets during SummerSlam?
Digging through the trash at Johnny Rockets.
Is that the New York thing? Is it Shake Shack? Is that the restaurant
sure,
in New York?
Shake Shack. Yeah, Shake Shack.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan always talks about. Yeah, that's where we ran into him at. And we just weren't sure. We weren't completely sure.
He was taking his 15-minute break.
That's where you just have to ask, are you Oscar? You know, work for Xavier, work for Oscar.
What is G doing?
What the hell is this?
That was nice.
That wins everything.
Oh, Chevy trucks.
Oh,
that's a pretty highbrow sponsor for this.
I'm surprised we've never seen a GIF file of Gene dancing there.
Yeah, that awesome. Seemed pretty goofy. Wow, I like that still at Lawler where he looked like he was the captain of a cruise ship.
That's a good book.
You know what's so funny is
welcome aboard the Carnival Dream.
Yeah.
We're expecting you.
I mean,
maybe you'll come aboard.
Just imagine if the Love Boat was still on and WWF got, you know, some episode with a bunch of their guys. Like the same week they did the Family Feud or whatever.
Taker and Gonzalez official for SummerSlam in a rest in peace match.
In a rest in peace match? Only Undertaker knows the rules of a rest in peace match, says Gene.
So it'll be a little like the Mark.
Now, Jordan, why didn't you go to the
match?
Show? Yes.
Almost like Raven's rules.
Well, I think it was mostly Undertaker wanted the crowd to rest for a while. So he was like, everyone just take a quick nap.
So SummerSlam's still on a Monday here.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
I think 94
was on a Monday. It was on a Monday, yep. So.
What's the situation with Monday Night Raw that day, in that case?
That's a good question.
I'm trying to...
Like, is it just a 1 hour, you know, put a card up on the screen?
Because I know...
the pay-per-view.
PJ Walker's funeral, I think.
Well, I do know they have that. I mean, that Luger video that they aired, was that on Raw or was that on the SummerSlam home video release? Because I know it shows clips of the match, which I thought was pretty amazing. I don't know. Maybe they do. Or maybe by that time they're preempted by the U.S. Open. Has that started already?
That is it's probably the U.S. Open because that usually starts about Labor Day.
Oh, that's possible.
Yeah, that's very possible.
All right, here's the Lex Express tour.
The Lex going around the country, kissing babies.
Stopping at the Liberty Bell.
And in the children's hospital. Yes,
and the U.S. flag is best.
Telling all those kids, just get steel plates in your injured parts.
This should end with him in front of Mount Rushmore. That kind of iconic him posing.
Now they're saying that this is a call to action.
Tucked in, too.
It's in a call to action campaign. What were they calling to action?
Him to face Yoko for the title.
Yeah, he wanted that shot.
Yeah, like they had that
very
shot.
Serious matter.
Yeah, like they had that shot of all the children walking alongside the bus, and I'm like, is he like leading a movement of children to go like attack the Japanese world champion? Because this could get very unfortunate. Oh God, they couldn't film in front of the Washington Monument, so they just put the bus on like the nearest street.
You imagine like the congressman walking out of the Capitol, seeing Lex.
Oh God,
who's this guy on top of a bus?
Very phallic.
Another crazy homeless guy.
Yeah, Lex Luger is posing on top of the bus, and they're filming him. Meanwhile, like Bob Dole and his Senate aides are walking by.
I wish you guys could have heard the music during that, because there was no talking. It was just like this repeating early 90s like electronic dance music. Speaking
glad
of which,
I can't hear this.
Who is this person?
That is, Tiny Tim's eyebrows are fantastic.
Oh my God.
Seeing Tiptoe Through the Tulips with me.
And,
well, of course. What else is he going to sing?
The hits keep on coming.
Wow.
Did Bastion Booger get like a new outfit with textured fabric, or is it just really dirty?
Well, this is another outfit I could put together for you and go to the backyard and wear.
All right.
Yes.
Look, if I shaved my head, I'd look very similar.
Yeah. You know, Scott Desplay is facing him.
Little Macho Man's not
Bob Backlund. Little Mach.
Yeah, Little Mach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Steve, from behind, he looks a little like Backlund. He had that kind of stance
where
he like crouches down a little bit and sticks his butt out like Backlund.
Not enough of a wedgie of the tights, but pretty close.
Oof.
I'm still convinced that Booger's wearing his boots are just Friar Ferguson's boots, and he just didn't bother changing those.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Because down at the bottom, it looks like they're supposed to look like sandals.
Yeah,
I think I said this in our last episode. It infuriates me.
Ooh.
It infuriate you that someone with the look and the character of Bastion Booger still has the supposed footwear of a man of God?
just that he doesn't take the time to like really match from top to bottom.
Did anybody have a more drastic gimmick change than Friar Ferguson to Bastion Booger?
Well, I don't know. How long did the WWF in 1985 have Cowboy Bret Hart?
Well, that's true.
Yes.
Bastion Booger, when this guy used to be a friar.
Truly, faith has left him.
Now, somebody's wearing a homemade Ric Flair shirt I caught a fleeting glimpse of. That looked pretty cool.
Ooh, next week, Bret Hart taking on Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, we see clips here up there. That's their Barcelona match. That's
and then the King of the Ring finals match, too.
Right.
So during the finish of the match, of the Bastion Booger match, they didn't even call the victory or the move. They were busy talking about Gregory Harrison in a USA original movie, Caught in the Act. So they just completely...
I think that's more important to me than the finish of that match as well.
caught in the act, a young man flexing with Lex.
I like Lawler's cape here is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Looks a little like the one Barrett got when he was teamed up with Stardust for SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, a Fila hat.
Now I'll give a shill. If you ever have a lot of time to kill, you can go to YouTube and type in Mick Memphis. and you will get the full Vince McMahon in Memphis saga from the summer of 1993. It is highly entertaining what they did around this time. This is not probably part of that compilation, but it's really incredible stuff to see. There's a MSG house show in August where Lawler faces Bret Hart, and the next day he's on Memphis television on the Saturday morning talking about it, and he's like, you know, I beat him up and embarrassed you, and we saw the fan cam footage from the show before, but it's amazing how much of a face Lawler was in Memphis and how much of a heel Vince became. There's also a match where Vince trips up Bret Hart when they're wrestling a match, and it is just hilarious. At ringside, he acts like he didn't, and it's great.
Mm.
Now, less great is a Tiny Tim's Mickey Mouse suit.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Full, like, pants and suit.
Yeah, talk about matching top and bottom.
So Lawler, really all he talked about was trying to get the crowd off of him for the Burger King chants.
This feels really pointless.
Now, was Tiny Tim some sort of personage that anyone actually knew at this point?
I think he was a bigger star in like the 70s. Like, he used to go on Carson a lot. I could be wrong, but...
And he got married on The Tonight Show, and that was my... Yes. Like, in the 80s, he got married, and it was like a big deal.
Yeah, but by 93, he was... F-list celebrity.
mm-hmm.
He feels like a member of the Whack Pack here.
So barely above, barely above Rob Bartlett then.
Yes. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
What would a modern comparison, like, what celebrity would appear on Raw this week that would be the equivalent of Tiny Tim?
Kevin Federline, probably.
Yeah, like if Kevin Federline was on Raw this week.
Oh, DJ Pauly D. is what I'm going with.
Yeah, anybody from the Jersey Shore?
Bill Curtis.
Bill Curtis.
Mr. Hughes. Like...
Jenny Jones.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
How about like Right Said Fred?
David Spade.
David Spade actually has a new show out. It's pretty lousy.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
It's like a prank show. It just seems really staged and
yeah. I think he should thank Adam Sandler for every payday that he gets now.
Yeah, and Chris Farley too. I mean, for true. Any yeah, payday for, he got back then.
Very true.
So are they saying anything of note here, Steve?
Lawler is just bringing up his past on getting married in The Tonight Show and just making fun of his voice. Talked about his wedding. And for some reason, Tiny Tim said she was wonderful and she would carry around dollar bills. And then Tiny Tim plugged his radio show that's going to be debuting on July 25th in Des Moines on WHO Radio.
Who?
Ow. Ooh.
Des Moines.
Tiny Tim says he does not believe Jerry Lawler is the Burger King. He believes he's the Dairy Queen.
Oh, quite the burn from Tiny Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tiny Tim will go full heel here and hit him over the head with a ukulele and say, "Don't piss me off."
call him Slap Nuts.
Yeah. Jarrett was actually Lawler's lieutenant in Memphis around this time. He was like his number two main tag partner. He broke. Oh, that's sad. Broke the ukulele.
Oh, come on, Jerry.
Boy, Tim is really broken up over this.
That's like $50 that he's going to have to pay to have that replaced. Wow, he's really upset over this.
He's going to be pulling some overtime in Des Moines on the radio show to buy it.
Right now would be a really good time for Lawler Piledriver.
Oh,
Tim is down like that.
He's picking up the pieces. He's broken Tiny Tim's heart. You've broken Tiny Tim's heart.
Well, now now Tiny Tim can make a broken ukulele championship belt, like the hardcore title.
That was clearly wrong.
I was fixing they cut to that after that atrocious segment.
And the other side of the sign said, Raw rules, fools.
So it looks like this is right after Kid had his eyebrow shaved by the Smoking Guns and Mr. Perfect.
Chris Duffy.
Have you guys ever heard about that story?
Yeah. No, I did not.
Yeah, he told that story in one of the DX specials on the network.
Yeah, he... it was his 21st birthday, I think, and they took him out. They got him tanked and shaved his eyebrows.
And it was like the next day that they were doing photos.
They were doing photo shoots.
Like all his
if you look at his action figure, the cardboard part of the action figure has a picture from that photo shoot.
I was a big fan of that.
His Hasbro figure. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's only about 3 minutes left in the show. They're starting this match.
Chris Duffy looks like he would be like the stunt double if Shane Douglas was a movie star.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. He's got the Shane Douglas look, but he's wearing surfer Sandman's tights, so I'm quite confused here.
And gold boots for some reason.
Somebody just gave the bunny ears to IRS when they cut to them. And the
lots of colorful tights.
Oh, he popped him right in the face with that kick.
Yeah, that was a nasty little kick by a kid.
Yeah, Duffy looks like he's wearing Lawler singlet with like Jannetty's underwear over it.
Yes, and Fry Ferguson's boots.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and he hit a big hip toss there.
Razor came out through the crowd. Money Inc. is down the aisle.
I'm guessing that Kid's going to run away here to end this.
Probably at this point is whether he gets the clean pin or this ends in some sort of schmoz.
I always liked his leg drops.
The little baseball slide leg drops he did.
Yep.
Yeah, those were sweet.
They've got to have a schmoz here because they need to save Duffy's heat.
Yeah.
Good point.
I want to see a close-up of this tattoo. It looked like it could be really embarrassing from the glimpses I've seen. Duffy has a nice tattoo. Maybe Tasmanian Devil? I don't know. All I saw was an outline.
He does look like the type who would have a Looney Tunes tattoo.
Yeah, it felt like a mistake based on the glimpse I got earlier.
I'm never showing you my Tweety Bird.
Yeah.
Kid's got to be so excited he gets some like actual offense in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to do like 360 flips for every clothesline.
Yeah. Big time.
Ooh, that was
leg
a
drop.
Nice leg drop from the top rope.
That's all she wrote.
Very nice.
Yeah, you get 2 minutes, brother.
DiBiase's pissed.
Hey, he got all of his shit in 2 minutes. That was pretty good.
Kid doesn't know where to go.
No.
Razor on one side and Money Inc. on the other.
And a furious Chris Duffy in the ring.
He's going to go in the corner where Tiny Tim is. Should be safe over there.
Now I'm wondering, was the ukulele, was that Tiny Tim's wife that he married?
Yeah.
Is that why he was so upset?
Yeah.
1-2-3 Kid hops over the rails, takes off. There's a stare down between Money Inc. and Razor to possibly end the show here.
Yeah, Razor's really pointing that finger aggressively.
Let him know he's going to lose.
Shirt's coming off.
Mm-hmm.
Razor's got to understand that when you point fingers, your other four fingers are pointing back at you.
Okay, cool moment with little Macho and Bobby gives him the buddy ears.
Vince looks legitimately angry at that.
Yeah.
Look at Bobby.
Bobby doesn't give a shit.
This is like the episode. Vince is so pissed.
That kid's 46 years old. He's a midget, Bobby said.
Meanwhile, the Lex Express is too slow in the middle of the lane, holding up traffic.
Some truck just cut it off.
Somebody gave the Lex the bird. Driving down Highway 49.
Call to action. Call, move over to the carpool lane.
Oh, man.
That was a show that started off pretty hot and just took a giant dump.
Speaking of.
So what do we got here? We got a match of the night. That's a no-brainer. Sean and Marty or Bastian Booger Squash?
I don't know. Don't sleep on Chris Duffy.
Yeah.
It's got to be Sean and Marty by default here.
Yeah. Go with Jerry Lawler versus Ukulele.
God, I already forgot that happened.
Lucky you.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke, Glenn.
most 90s?
Razor's Pants might be up there. There was a kid when they were showing the first Lex Express video montage. There was a kid with a tucked-in Philly shirt and a pair of shorts.
I saw
that as well. Let's go with that. Philly's kid with the jorts, 93. Everyone was wearing the jorts.
Little Brad Woodling.
It was a little bad. This is John Cruck tribute at. One nut. Oh, man. It's late. It's been a long day.
One
oh God! Mullet. Who is the jobber with the giant mullet? I mean, that was luxurious.
Rich Myers.
I was going to say that was one of the ones we didn't get the names of. So okay.
Okay, so Rich Meyer this is straight across the board here. Rich Meyer, and then we have our rankings. Jordan, start us off. Good luck.
What did I give the last one? A 6?
Yep.
I don't know, 3. Not much here.
Wow.
Glennie?
I'm going to go with a 3, too. You know, for a supposed match of the year, that match, I mean, it was fine, but as a supposed match of the year, it was kind of a dud.
Jason?
3 sounds about right. That match was, that match was good, but it not match of the year.
And Chad?
I'm going to be a little more forgiving. I'll go 5. I mean, certainly not match of the year, but a good first half. But that second half is really bad. I mean, the second half of this show is probably a 1.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go 4. But I mean, you go from a legit 4-star match to Jerry Lawler and Tiny Tim, which is it's like it cancels each
other
out.
Quite the drop. Yeah,
neutral.
I could have gone a 2.5, but I think Heenan giving the bunny ears to that little kid bumped it up to a 3.
That was
so
awesome.
We round it 3.75 about, so round up to about 4. Man, it's like if you took hydrochloric acid and sodium hydroxide and mix it together, it's neutral, but you drink it and you're gonna drop dead. That's what Oh man! All right, guys. That last half hour was a little rough. So, for those who followed along with us, thank you. Put on that Lex Express music, the slow electronic beats. Pop on your U.S. flag Zubaz. You can catch us next time we do this, which could be next month. It might be next year. You know, we might even put these on, out of order. Because why not? So for Jordan, Glenn, Greeny, Chad. This is Steve Lee. We are out of here. Any parting thoughts, Glenn? Any words of wisdom to leave us with?
I looked deep within myself, and what I saw was not raw.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, baby, it's all just right. show.